many times have you eaten bread? Who knows, right? I mean, so many different times, we can't even begin to count the number of times that we've eaten bread or a form of bread. You know, from our earliest days to the present moment, we have had bread, we have had grains in so many different forms, haven't we? And be it wheat, rye, oats, barley, corn, all kinds of different grains that you and I have had in order to sustain and support our life. We've had it in the form of sandwiches, pizza, pasta. Making you hungry already, aren't I? Cereal, and that wonderful, of all things, desserts. But grains are really meant to be a very important part of our diet. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel 4:9, it shares, "Take also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt, and put them into one vessel and make a bread of it." So from biblical times, grains have been used to make breads, to make forms of food that would sustain people so that we could live. They're a gift from God. And so as I continue to reflect with you on Henry Nouwen's work with Burning Hearts, there's a particular part of the story where Jesus is with the disciples. He has been invited into their home after a journey along the road to Emmaus, and they want him to stay with them. The disciples want to get to know this stranger a little bit better. And as they do that, they do one of the most wonderful things that we do each day, and that is share a meal. They have a meal together, one of the most intimate things any group of people can do. And as they are sharing this meal together, it says in this story that Jesus took bread and he broke it. And you and I both know that whenever Jesus took something as simple as bread, whether it was with the two disciples or before a multitude of thousands, when he broke it, when he blessed it, when he gave thanks for it, very special things began to happen. The disciples that night thought they were just gathering around with Jesus for another meal, trying to get to know this stranger a little bit better, trying to hear more about his life, trying to understand what it was about him that was so unique and was so touching their hearts. They probably thought they would just engage in a little bit more conversation over dinner and build that relationship with each other. But what happened was Jesus continued to invite them into a deeper communion with himself. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that on the road to Emmaus, one of the reasons why the disciples invited Jesus into their home was they wanted to get closer to him. They wanted to get to know him better. They wanted to form a deeper connection with him. And guess what? Jesus wanted that too. Jesus wanted that too. You know, if some of you are under the supposition today or have been living with the understanding that God is this deified being way up somewhere who you have to always painfully try to seek and find and who is engaged in an eternal game of hide and seek with you, a God who is in this galaxy far, far and way away that you will never, ever quite be able to grasp, what Jesus says to you and me is that God has come to us in the flesh and has desired to connect with us. And what is so powerful about this story about the disciples on the road to Emmaus is that in the sharing of a simple meal, in the breaking of bread, in the sharing of fellowship, Jesus reveals himself more fully to them. What you and I need to hear from this story today is as much as you want Jesus, Jesus wants you even more. He wants that connection with you and that relationship with you. Nouwen shares the Eucharist is the most ordinary and the most divine gesture imaginable. So human and yet so divine. So familiar yet so mysterious. So close yet so revealing. Bread and wine become his body and blood in the giving. The bread, indeed, is his body given for us, the wine his blood poured out for us. As God becomes fully present to us in Jesus, so Jesus becomes fully present to us in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. God's total self-giving love desires communion with us. And so as much as you and I, in just a few moments, as we come to the altar railing to receive the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. As much as we come to receive him, he is also receiving us. He is also giving himself to us in a very profound and deep and spiritual and real way. And I don't know about you, but as I consider the world, as I consider our lives, as I consider humanity, I still find it unbelievable that God desires to commune with us at times, with the likes of you and me. There is something incredibly beautiful about humanity, no denying it. Something incredibly beautiful about the human spirit. Something incredibly beautiful about what we're able to create. Something incredibly beautiful about people dreaming and people surmounting incredible odds. But isn't it also true that for us as human beings, there is a heart-rending brokenness? That if you and I just take a step back from each one of our lives and are honest about the reality of our own heart, there is an undeniable brokenness that goes to the very core of our beings. And it is something that you and I will struggle with on some level each and every day of our lives. That is part of the reality of our life. That our Heavenly Father continues to reach out to his beloved time and time again, witnesses to me that God is healer, that God is light, and that God is love. It is so much in God's nature to love. The scripture is so clear, even in the gospel reading that I read today, God so loved the world. God so loved you and me that he gave his only son. It was in the very nature of God when Adam and Eve first sinned and when humanity continued to rebel against God and sin against God, and when God said up, they went down. When God said left, they went right. When God said white, they said black, right? It was in the very nature of God from that moment of time to have a plan of salvation for us, to save us from ourselves. And he did that through the person of his son, Jesus. And it's in the very nature of God to continue to reach out to you and me and to all of humanity in his redeeming love, in his transforming love, and to connect with them. St. Augustine shares, "My soul is restless until it rests in you, O God." But part of the reality that Nouwen is sharing with us in his book with Burning Hearts is that God is also yearning to belong to you. God is also yearning to be in relationship with you. God is also deeply desiring to connect with you and to be with you. From Adam to Eve and Abraham to Sarah, God is crying out to his creation. I created you. I gave you all my love. I guided you, offered you my support, promised you the fulfillment of your heart's desire. Where are you? Where is your response? Where is your love for me? What else must I do to make you love me? Powerful questions, moving questions, and questions that begin to enable us to see God in a totally different way. And I would submit to you a more realistic way. The core of the Eucharistic celebration that we gather around and celebrate each and every week of this, that we are here, is God's desire for intimacy with you. Every week we celebrate the giving of Jesus to you and to me, the giving of his love, the giving of his body and blood, the giving of his life for you and me. That's what we celebrate every week around this sacred table. And so in closing, my question for you and me is a very important question, I think. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything like that, but I want to ask you this question, and I want to encourage you to answer it as honestly as you can in the depth of your own heart is, do you desire intimacy with God? You know, I've made the case here, and I've made the case over a number of weeks, that God desires intimacy with you. And that really is the heart of our story as the beloved of God. God desires intimacy with us. But let me ask the next part of that relational question, and that is, do you desire intimacy with God? Do you really want that? And what does that look like for you right now? You know, for some of you, that greater intimacy with God might be to say, you know what? I've never heard Jesus talked about like this before. I'm going to make this step toward Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. I want to learn what it's like for me to connect with a God who desires to be in a relationship with me, who loves me, who cares about me, and is wild about me. That's my next step of intimacy with God. Maybe for others of you here today, your step of intimacy with God is that besetting sin in your life. That area of sin that you continue to commit, maybe you've been committing it for a number of years, and each time you do, there's a ding in your conscience. There's a conviction in your soul. You know deep in your gut that because you continue to do this, on some level, you're missing out on the intimacy with God that you could have. It might be a sin in the area of materialism where you're trying to seek security for money. It might be a sin in the area of lust where you're trying to use someone or something to fill your need for love. And your next step of intimacy is actually beginning to trust the God who is alive. The God who can provide you a security that no one else can. And the God who can love you like nobody else. To make that step toward him. For some of you, the step toward intimacy with God during this season of Lent is to enter into some new spiritual disciplines. This coming Wednesday night, we have the Lenten Soup and Bread. Maybe it's a time for you to come and be with us and to grow together in what it means to pray to the Lord and to deepen in that. Maybe you'll come on Thursday to the St. John's Lenten Quiet Day, which is right here at St. John's, and spend some time in meditation and reflection and celebrate the Eucharist on the golf with us. Father Joe, I've never done anything like that before. Exactly. It's time for you to do something like that. It's time for you to make a step toward intimacy with God and say, God, I know that you love me so much. I've been hearing and hearing this all of my life. Help me to know what my next step is to express my love for you. And for some of you, finally, for you to make a step toward intimacy toward the Lord is to embrace his dream for you, to embrace the reality and the hope that he's calling you to fulfill, to embrace maybe a new relationship or a new business or a new direction in your life. And it's scary. You're not sure what to do, but God's Spirit is leading you, and he's calling you to step out in faith. Do you really desire intimacy with God? I would simply say to each one of us as we ask that question here this morning, let each one of us begin to have the grace to allow his light to fill our broken places. To begin to be honest that at the depth of our being is not only incredible potential, but incredible brokenness. And that into the really depths of our brokenness and who we really are, we need to invite the light and the love and the mercy and the healing presence of God. He broke bread. His body was broken. And their eyes were open. Jesus speaks to us this morning. Take and eat me. I am your Lord. I am your Savior. I am the one who will love you like nobody else. Take and eat of me. And walk with me. And be with me. And love me. Connect with me. And walk together with me. Do you desire that kind of intimacy with our Lord?